Shabbos, we know that in this week's parsha, Parsha's Va'ira, so we are introduced ultimately again to the Makos, And when it comes to the Makos of Osai, so what we very often focus on is they are a form of punishment to the Egyptians. And Rav Shamshon of Al Hirsch and others explain the Makos were not random, but rather, again, the Makos were by design. The Makos were a Midah Keneged Midah, a reciprocal punishment for the Egyptians. Each Makah corresponded to some injustice or wrong perpetrated by the Egyptians against the Jews. So we'll say, so therefore again, and what was the involvement of the Jews in the Makos? The truth is nothing, right? We just watched. So Lubavitcher B'Zecher Tzadik Livracha in his Likutei Sichos brings down an incredible idea. And he explains that it's not true. He says, although the Makos, yes, were designed as a punishment, ultimately, again, for the Mitzrim, but the Makos also contained lessons that were necessary for the Jews. I'm going to speak about this more in depth tomorrow, on Shabbos morning. But the Makos were designed, ultimately, again, to, on one hand, punish the Egyptians, right? But on the other hand, convey some profound life lessons to Klal Yisrael. And the Rebbe says something amazing. The Rebbe, I'm going to quote to you his Lashon. He says, Ritzon chalotzeis mimitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling the Jews, do you want to leave Egypt? And Rebbe says, you know, the Svarim write this idea extensively, that Mitzrayim, Rebbe says, doesn't just mean Egypt. Mitzrayim also means what? Meitzarim. Right? Min ha-meitzar karasika. From the narrow straits. We all have our Mitzrayim. We all have our difficult circumstances. And so all of us want to experience, it says, this is why Chazal instituted that we have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. Why? Because I want to get out of my personal Mitzrayim also. Right? I have my own Mitzrayim. So the Rebbe points out, and some of you may hear a little bit of this tomorrow, this intro again as well tomorrow morning, which is that the Rebbe points out that the Makos, were designed to punish the Egyptians, but also to teach us how to get out of our own Mitzrayim, how to navigate out of our own difficult or tumultuous circumstances. So we'll say, each Makkah contains a life lesson. So for this morning, I'll spend a few moments to focus on the Makkah of Dam. So we'll say, so we know that the Makkah of Dam, vis-a-vis the Egyptians, so played a major role. Why? What was the message for Dam for the Egyptians? So the Egyptians worshipped the Nile, right? The Nile was their deity. So we'll say, so the act of turning the Nile, which was the very core of life-sustaining activity for Egypt, into blood, rendering it lifeless, at the end of the day, was an incredible theological blow to the Egyptians, asserting the theological superiority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over the Nile, over Paro. What was the message for Klal Yisrael? So I was supposed to listen to these words of the Rebbe. This is incredible. He says, Mayim misamlim krirus. So I will say, water, and it's interesting, water in Yiddishkeit has many different symbolisms. One of the symbolisms that water has is krirus, coldness, rogea, Heder is Slavos. I will say, so water, although sometimes water represents Chesed, sometimes water represents Torah, water also represents, I will say, the antithesis of Hislavos. Because I will say, Hislavos is often, right, excitement or zeal is often embodied by fire. Water is that which extinguishes fire. So water very often represents, the Rebbe says, Rogea, a certain, like, even keeledness, I don't know if that's the word, but a certain, you know, just flatlining. Ha'eder hislavos, the absence of zeal, the absence of life excitement. Lu'umas zeh, what's the opposite of that? Zedam is blood. Blood represents what? Husemel hachamimus, hislavos, halahat. I will say, blood, what does blood represent? By the way, you mostly understand like, the incredible part of this? Right? What does blood represent? Blood represents pulsating life. Right? Remember again, I will say, what's the sign of vitality? We just saw, I will say, amazing. What about to say, what's the greatest sign of life? Spurting out of blood. Right? Hot blood everywhere. Right? No, it doesn't paint a beautiful image. Right? Don't use it for the Shabbos table. But you understand, I will say, the idea being blood represents vitality. Blood represents energy. Blood represents hislavos. So water represents, again, equanimity. Water represents, again, no hislavos. Water represents coldness. And blood represents heat, represents vitality, represents pulsating life. Therefore, says the Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was punishing the Egyptians, but he was giving us a message. What's the message? V'zeh ha-davar ha-rishon sha'omrim li-Yehudi. I will say the first message, if you want to leave your Egypt and go out to lead a successful life, Ritzon chalatzitz mi-Mitzrayim? You want to get out of your Egypt? Ritzon chalishtacher mi-agvulos ha-kavalos ha-tnafshecha? Do you want to get out of the narrow streets which confine your soul? Berosh u-berishona alecha? Lapoch es hamayim ledam. I will say the first order of business in life is you have to transform your water into blood. The first order of business of personal geula is transform your water into blood. Replace, Rabosai, the even keeled, the coldness with pulsating life vitality. Go ahead and replace, Rabosai, sometimes the coldness and flat-lined nature of our Yiddishkeit with a pulsating, exciting, heated up, vital blood. Replace the mayim with dam. Get rid of Yisrael the Piagetzna. Get rid of life lethargy and replace it ultimately again with the dam, the lifeblood of existence. But how do you do that, Jabosai? How do you replace the mayim with dam? So this is amazing. If you look at the pasuk, so the pasuk, this is in Parag Zayin, pasuk Chaf. We'll say, how does Aaron, remember Moshe doesn't bring dam, but how does Aaron bring dam? The pasuk says, Vayach es hayam. Vayach es hayam means Aaron took the staff and he hit the water. Says the Rebbe, what you have to actively do is chase away the water and replace it with dam. How do you chase away the water and replace it with dam? So the Rebbe says one simple phrase, Hider the mitzvahs. I have to go above and beyond in my Yiddishkeit. See, Rabosai, we're friends, so we talk openly. Sometimes for us, the metric of successful Judaism is, I'm not going to Gehenna. And Rabosai, that is an excellent start, don't get me wrong, right? I'm not going to Gehenna, right? So, okay, that guy is going to Gehenna for sure, right? At least I know, and he's probably got like a business class seat in Gehenna, right? At least I know I'm not going to Gehenna. And I'm okay. In other words, as long as I'm not living on the line of wrong, on the wrong side of the line of wrongdoing, I'm okay. And it's true, it's a great start. But that's water, Yiddishkeit. That's mayim. If you want dam, if you want vitality, if you want hislavos, Rabos, it says the Rebbe, it is all about hider b'mitzvos. It is about beautifying, not just spending more money on your eser, Rabosai. It's about going above and beyond and not just checking the boxes, but pushing myself to do more, pushing myself to be more, pushing myself to work harder. Rabosai, we have so many things on our plate, and sometimes, again, what we're just content in our Yiddishkeit is just getting by. I show up for sure, right? What time I show up, what I pay attention to, that's a detail. I'm showing up, and Rabosai, I want to be clear, showing up is an incredible first step. An incredible first step. But that's all it is. It's just a first step. I dive in with a minyan, but I don't say most of the words. Again, I both say, incredible first step. Incredible first step. Shabbos morning, I like to sleep a little bit later. I get there before Shlishi. That's not even a first step. That's not even a first step. That's just embarrassing. Just embarrassing. I will say, so again, but what you see over here is sometimes our greatest challenge is we get stuck at the first step. And I say, hey, at least I'm not going to Gehenna, right? At least I'm water. At least I'm water. And I both say, Nebuch. People spend their entire lives as water. And they never transform into dam. They never transform into blood. They never become something greater. And says Rabbi Chalish Baruch, who says, if all you stay is water, you're going to stay in Mitzrayim. I'm sorry. You can't leave Mitzrayim as water. You only leave Mitzrayim when the water transforms into dam. So as the Egyptians ultimately again are being stricken theologically, Klal Yisrael is being given lesson number one to become a free, autonomous, and destiny-filled people. Take the water of mediocrity, I will say, and turn it into the blood of Hidr. Take the water of mediocrity and turn it into the blood of vitality. We should be zochah, I will say, all of us have our own Mitzrayim. And we should be zochah, Miratz Hashem, to be able to emerge from it victorious. But in order to do so, I will say, we have to push ourselves. We cannot be content with step one. We cannot be content with getting by. We have to push ourselves to find hider in every aspect of our lives. Shabbos.